Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Stark Raving Madness. I'm Lex.
And I'm Britt.
And sorry about the delay that we've had. Brittany and I have had a very stressful week.
It's been pretty hectic lately, yeah.
Yeah.
Running all over the fucking place.
Yeah. Brittany is in Colorado, and I am currently still stuck in the hellhole that we call Alabama.
Indubitably. Indubitably.
But it's
fine. It's hot as fuck in both locations.
You know, it's almost been a year since Brittany and I left for Colorado ourselves. We actually started talking about it around this time. So it's kind of cool that she ended up back there.
Right? I saw it pop up on my memory yesterday and I was like, oh shit, I'm here again.
Yeah, because we left and we made it in to Colorado in November 4th, right? 4th or 5th?
It was the 11th.
Was it the 11th?
Yeah. We were supposed to get there on the 10th, and we got there on the 11th.
Right, I remember.
Because we missed the Ice Nine Kill show by a day.
No, that happened on the 5th. Their show happened on the 5th.
Yeah, but we were going to miss it.
Oh, right, gotcha. Well, that's regardless. Actually, Brittany and I are going to do an episode later on in October that has to do with why we were in Colorado, actually.
Indeed. So stick around for that one because it's pretty interesting.
Yes, and my lovely fiance will be joining us for that one too because she.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, Aaron. But yes,
Aaron.
She actually drove 1,600 miles to see me when I was living in Colorado.
Yeah, so, they got a whole bougie ass love story from like across the country.
Pretty much, yeah.
And now they're engaged as fuck.
Yeah. So, she's going to join in because she actually she plays a part in the Colorado story as well. I don't want to give too much away. We kind of want you guys to just be as surprised and excited as we were when we first got there. So, and for those of us who know why we went to Colorado, you know, y'all already know, but there are a few people that don't, so.
Yeah.
Twisted. Yeah.
It's pretty twisted.
Yeah, me and Brittany are pretty spooky people, but so today I have a case for y'all that everybody probably knows about. Like, I'm not going to lie, this was a pretty worldwide case in 2018. It's about Chris Watts.
Chris Watts. This case, this dude, oh my god, he's fucking dead. Oh my god, he's just a deadbeat person.
Yes, the reason I chose this is because we're going to talk about family annihilators, and I have always been interested by them, not because I personally want to do that, but because they don't have
flag alert. No.
They don't have a reason. Like, there's no, like, psychological understanding of why they do what they do. And we'll get into that later in the podcast. But most of you guys do know who Chris Watts is and what he did. But for those of you who don't, so I might butcher her name because it is not Shannon like I thought it was. It's Shannan.
No, it's not.
It's Shannan. It's
Shannan.
Everybody else
said Shannon, okay?
Well, no, that's the thing, is I watched...
Really?
I watched documentaries and stuff, and some of them said, like, Shannan, and other ones, they did say Shannon. But it is... The most I've heard has been Shannan, so I'm going to go with Shannan because it's spelled...
Okay, just put an and on mix.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm hoping. If I'm butchering it to the family, I'm so sorry. I'm just trying to... go by association of what I've heard. So Chris Watts and Shannan Watts, they were natives of North Carolina. One was from Spring Lake and the other was from Aberdeen. And they met through a mutual friend on Facebook in 2010. They married on November 3rd, 2012. And they had two kids together, a 4-year-old Bella and 3-year-old, I think it's Celeste. She went by Cece.
Yeah.
So I might refer to her as Cece because I don't know if it's Celeste or Celeste or you know, what it is. So they were also expecting their third, which was a boy this time around. And they had planned to name him Nico Lee. And she was due on January 31st, 2019. They had moved for, I guess they were living in North Carolina, but they had moved from there to Frederick, Colorado in 2013, which is actually near Denver, which was close to where Britt and I were staying when we were in Colorado. And shortly after, in 2015, the couple filed for bankruptcy. Chris was working for Anadarko Petroleum. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's A-N-A-D-A-R-K-O.
Anadarko?
Yeah, I think it's Anadarko Petroleum. And Shannon was a independent representative for the marketing company. I think it's Level, but it's like L-E-V-L.
Oh, with like a Level.
Yeah, like Level, selling a product called Thrive. And basically, for if you don't know what she was doing, basically, is you remember how like those people would be like, buy these leggings and push you to buy these like products, kind of like Mary Kay or like Avon.
Yeah.
But apparently she was really successful. Like she made.
Oh, that's good. That's hard as fuck to do. I did Avon for like 2 months and nothing.
Right. She won a company car. She actually had.
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah, Lexus. Yeah, she owned
that's
Lexus.
Hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, she was pretty good at her job. You could say she had a lot of Facebook videos that she posted advertising her product. She was very active on Facebook with her family. She did videos with her kids, with Chris when he was willing to. And, you know, people who knew the family, they described them as, like, a loving, caring family. And, you know, if you follow along on her Facebook page, you couldn't tell that something was off.
Yeah.
And she actually recorded a reaction of Chris whenever she found out they were pregnant with their third. And in the video, she like sits on the couch and she's wearing a shirt that says, oops, we did it again. And she's got the pregnancy stick in her hand, the positive one. And he just kind of like acts a little weird about it. Like he kind of was like, oh yeah. And then like, kind of like brushes it off. But people said that he was kind of an introvert, so he was not the one that was more like on being on the camera. So a lot of people maybe speculate that he acted that way because he knew she was recording and he didn't like that.
Well, that makes sense. Like some people just don't like being in the spotlight. Like
it was just a little weird though. Not gonna lie. And
no, like for sure, you don't want like your significant other to like have that response. You want excitement and happiness and.
Right, but just remember that for like future reference. Yeah. So they kind of started having issues in 2018. Well, they've been having issues since 2015, you know, but it became apparent that 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, so it kind of became apparent that something was going on when Shannon and her two daughters went on a 6-week vacation to visit her family. And they called it a vacation, but it seemed like there was a lot more going on because who up and just takes 6 weeks to go see their... Now, I get going to see your family is important, but 6 weeks and Chris didn't go with them, that's a little suspect. And the neighbors had reported that there was screaming and fighting. Like, they even started, like, when they would go out in the yard and their driveway and screaming about it. Yeah, they would be fighting.
Like in public? Wherever.
Yes. And
So they were pretty toxic.
Yes. And it was said that during this time, no surprise, Chris had an affair while Shannon was gone. And she noticed a difference in Chris, and she actually confronted him. And there's public records of their exchanges back and forth, because when I was researching this case, I actually found a 2,000-page court document that had, it was like all of the case completely lined out. Everything. Yes. Text messages, how they found the bodies, Chris's weird behavior. We're going to get into some of that, but I didn't go into too much of it because, like I said, it was a 2,000-page court document and there was so much in it. I just took like key points and stuff. But yeah. She said that when they went through her phone records and stuff, they found out that on August 5th, she pretty much texted him, was like, I don't know how you fell out of love with me within 5.5 weeks or if this has been going on for a long time, but you don't plan another baby if you're not in love. So she's like saying that he doesn't, they planned another kid and she doesn't understand why he's doing this. And he denied he didn't love her, saying that he didn't want to raise 8 years together and saying that, quote, I'm not sure what's in my head. So things
are he's just like, I'm just going through some shit right now. You got to give me it.
Kind of. There were more, but he was, keep in mind, he was having an affair during this time. Like, there are records.
Now, are they, like, separated during this time? Like, no. She knows he's having an affair.
No, she does not.
She doesn't know?
No, she just thinks he's being weird. She notices that he's being different. Yeah. She notices he's being different, but she doesn't know why.
Why?
She has no idea about the mistress.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, and he just kind of, like, blows it off. He blames it on work. You know, he's like, I'm stressed at work. You know, there's a lot going on here, blah, 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 whatever. And she's, like, not letting it go. She actually, on July 14th, she suggests that they go to marriage therapy. And Chris shot it down, saying that he didn't love her anymore and he didn't want the baby. And she
fuck?
Yes. Yes. And it was 4 days after it was 4 days after Chris told Shanann that him and his mistress, whose name is Nicole, she was a co-worker from the petroleum plant.
That place you worked, yeah.
Yeah. And they were spotted going on vacation. And he had been caught, like, when they went through all the records and stuff, he was found Googling vacation spots.
What?
Yeah.
So he's, like, throwing his family to the side for the side bitch?
Yes.
Nice. Nice.
Yes.
Prime man.
Yes. Yes. She has a good bit to do with it. There's some weird stuff going on with her. Like, she was found later to have Googled, the man I'm having an affair with says he is going to leave his wife. Yes. And then she also Googled. Okay. Yeah. Chris Googled some pretty questionable things, too, that the police later found on. Like, he Googled, how do you feel when someone says I love you? And the investigators could not let this go. Right. So, before
that's
we get too far
ahead. That's sociopathic shit right there.
Yeah. Before we get too far ahead, I should probably explain why this is important. So, around 2 a.m. on August 13th, 2018, Shanann's friend, Nicole Addison, who is not the one that Chris was having an affair with.
Okay,
it's a different Nicole. Yeah. I'll refer to his Nicole as Nikki, which is what he referred to her as. And I'm going to refer to Shanann's friend as Nicole. Yeah. So, her friend, Nicole, dropped her off at the Watts home after a business trip they had taken together. And that was the last time Shanann was seen. A few hours later, Nicole tried to get in touch with her, but wasn't able to do so. She brushed it off and really only grew concerned when Shanann missed an OBGYN appointment. She reached out to Chris, who was at work, and also the police. That afternoon, the police conducted an investigation of the Watts home. They found no signs of foul play. However, they did find Shanann's car and all of her belongings. The next day,
I'm just going to pause you real quick just because, like, I hope you do the same shit if I ever go missing. I hope you're like, oh, this shit's kind of weird. Let me hit up everybody real quick and then get the police over here as soon as possible.
Let's pause for a second. Do you not remember when you first met your boyfriend and you went 3 days without talking to me or Jen or anybody? Phone was dead and we were sitting there thinking that he had serial killed you and we were trying to get in touch with you and we couldn't even find him on Facebook to figure out if you were dead or alive. Like, we were about to come look for you. So, like, yes.
Oh, right, because you were looking for fucking, you didn't know how to find him because his name's Ethane, not Ethan.
Yeah, and we didn't even know a last name. We didn't know where he was from. We had...
That's fucking
I'm
hilarious.
Still mad at you for that.
I know, but Jen's still like, man, I thought you were a serial killer for sure.
Yeah, like we really all thought that he was a serial killer because we didn't hear from you for 3 days. Anyway. Take note, don't be like Britt, and if you're going off, off with some guy that you just met off the fucking internet, please tell your best friend slash
It is smart to like hit your homies up.
Your phone.
Yeah, and charge your phone because you're gonna stress out other people. It's not cool.
It's really not. It's so not cool. But anyway, so they discovered that Shanann's car and all of her belongings were still at the house. And the next day, Shanann and the girls were declared missing, and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, or the CBI, released an endangered missing persons alert for them. Shanann was 34 at the time she went missing. And the following days after Shanann and the girls went missing, Chris's story kind of changed drastically. He had originally told the police he had no idea where his wife and daughter were, and he began giving media appearances appealing to the community for help finding his family. It was then that the investigators from the police department, the CBI, and the FBI had begun going through Chris's phone records and discovered he was having an affair with a coworker from work, Nicole Kressinger, or Nikki. And then on August 15th, Chris was asked to take a polygraph test, and he failed. And he Googled weird things, and as later the police found out, she did too. She Googled like wedding dresses and like how to
Okay, wait, how long were they having an affair for?
It seemed that it started in June, but it's from what the police found, Nikki had been interested in Chris for a very long time. She called him, noticed that he was attractive and that he was not wearing a ring, and Chris actually initially told her that he was separated and sleeping in the basement of the house. And in the beginning of early July, which is right around, him and his wife, she was still gone. They began a physical relationship, seeing each other 4 or 5 times a week. And Nikki told Chris that she wanted to take it slow and that he should focus on helping his daughters through the divorce. She claims she only found out he was lying about Shanann and the girls when they went missing, but if you like, there were police records indicating that she actually knew he was married prior because of that text that I said where she Googled the man I'm having an affair with.
Why would you put it as
why would you
an affair?
She tried to claim innocent and claim that she didn't know anything, but that came back to bite.
Yeah, you wouldn't Google that shit if you were innocent about it,
right? So after Chris failed the polygraph, he vowed to only tell the truth if he could talk to his father first, because like, and there are, I encourage you guys, because I didn't want to play them, but I encourage you guys, there are clips of his interrogation and him confessing to his father that it's just chilling because he has like no emotion whatsoever when he's talking about it. And it's just pretty sad when you find out what really happened, because he tells like 3 different stories. So the police took a gamble and let him talk to his father, and he confessed that he killed his wife. However, he told the investigators that his family bodies were located in a Endarco petroleum site, wherever he worked at. Shanann's body was found in a shallow grave, and the girls' bodies were found in oil tanks. And Chris was charged with murdering his family on August 21st. But in his initial confession, he said he strangled Shanann in a fit of rage after watching her smother Bella and Cece. She was upset, he said, because he had tried to talk to her about separating, and in her rage, she had retaliated by killing the girls. After killing Shanann, he took the 3 bodies to the oil site and buried them. That, however, came crumbling down pretty quickly when he had a separate interview after he was in prison.
Oh, so that was all bullshit?
Yeah. So in a prison interview, he said that his daughters were still alive when he put his dead wife's body in his truck and drove his family to the oil field where all 3 bodies were found. Which
what
they
the
actually
fuck?
Hold on.
Like,
they
so
actually
he said
have,
like, he killed them there?
Yes. No. He killed... Hold on. It was just cited that they were still alive. Okay. Hold on. So he had a 5-hour interview with investigators in February of 2019, I think. And he said that he killed his family. He had... Hold on. He said that he strangled his wife, Shanann, after a fight at their home, and that his 4-year-old daughter, Bella, witnessed him dragging the body down the stairs. He said that Bella was crying out, "What is wrong with mommy?" He then loaded Bella and her 3-year-old sister, Cece, into the back seat of his truck with their mother's body nearby on the floorboard and drove them about 45 minutes to the oil site. When he got there, he said he used a blanket to smother Cece, who was Cece, and dropped her in an oil tank before doing the same to Bella. And apparently Bella asked, is the same thing that happened to Cece going to happen to me? Are you okay?
That's fucked up.
Yeah. What I'm actually going to show, I'm going to play a clip for you guys, is I found this video after reading about how he smothered his kids.
How are you going to do that to your own kids? Well, that's like your flesh and blood that you created. That is a life you brought into this world. How the fuck are you going to be the person to take it out?
Right.
What?
Yes.
Especially that poor. She knew them?
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude.
Yeah, he pled guilty to all 9 counts that were against him, which were 5 counts of first degree murder, including 2 additional counts for his daughters because they were children under 12. 1 count of unlawful termination of pregnancy, and 3 counts of tampering with a deceased human body. So he was sentenced to 5 life sentences, 3 consecutive and 2 concurrent for the murders, plus a total of 84 more years for his other crimes. But going to his daughter, I'm going to play a clip that I found after that apparently had only taken place like a couple days before the murder, I think is what they said. So I'm gonna play that, and it's kind of really sad when you know what happened to the 2 girls. So So, yeah, apparently a few days before he strangled, I think that was Bella singing.
I don't even, what?
Can you imagine?
No, I don't. That makes me so fucking angry. Oh, my God.
Yeah, somebody that you call your hero looking you in the eyes and strangling you.
Yeah,
sorry,
no.
Guys. That was a... That one was a little too much for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bawled while I did the research for this case, reading about Bella and CC's death, because it just...
It's a lot.
That video gets me every time. Thank God this monster is serving out his life sentence at a maximum security prison in Wisconsin. And I don't think they will ever let him out because he has 3 life sentences against him. So,
are you aware that he killed himself in prison?
I didn't see that.
Bruh, yeah, he's dead. He's dead as fuck. He committed suicide.
No way. I didn't see that in my research.
Yes. How did you not know that? I was so fucking happy when I saw it. I have, no, he's dead as fuck.
No.
He's not dead?
No. He's been placed on suicide watch.
No, I swear to God he killed himself. I swear to God I saw it. I swear to God, I saw it on the news.
Thinking of a different?
No! I swear to God, it was Chris Watts.
No, dude. He's still alive.
Is he really? No! I thought he did, like, a last interview or some shit. No,
he tried to kill himself twice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe he almost hit, like, death point, and then it surfaced.
Because
I remember... Okay, because he did try to commit suicide. That make... What the... I thought he was dead as fuck. What?
No. No, they did, interestingly enough, have a petition to remove the photos that Watts put up in the cell of his two young children and his wife.
Yeah, and good. The petition said that, fucking deserve it.
Yeah, the petition said that allowing a murderer to keep a trophy of his victims goes against the purpose and mission statement of the Wisconsin Department of Correction. Yeah.
No, shit. Yeah.
You can't fucking kill your wife and children in cold blood and then be like, oh, I'm going to keep a picture of
the You're the reason they're gone. Like,
right. Chris Watts can suck a big fat hairy toe.
You know what? Honestly, I'm glad he is still alive because he's going to have to sit there and deal with that being his reality for the rest of his fucking life. And that's even worse.
Right. I really hope he rots in. But you know, he kept getting moved around from the he kept getting moved around because of all the death threats and stuff he was getting.
I don't fucking question it.
Yeah, he apparently was tried to be killed in prison multiple times, and somebody should have fucking killed him because fuck that dude. Yeah, I left out some information on this case. There are, like, letters that he had sent Nikki that were made public. There are...
What? Wait, what?
Yeah, I actually have... Yeah, so he sent this letter to Nikki around her birthday, I think, which is his mistress.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, wow, where do I even start? The first day I saw you, you took my breath away. The first day I had the guts to talk to you, I got lost in those stunning green eyes. The first day we hung out in the park together, I knew I was addicted. The first time we kissed, I knew I had met the most amazing, unique, and electric woman ever. And he like emphasizes
that. Like some Google blank fill out the
shit. He says, we have a lot of firsts together, Nikki, with like emphasis on first, and I want to keep having them with you. I'll not till the sun comes back. I want to love you. Like, don't quote, do not quote one of my favorite country songs, you piece of shit. Never mind.
And then I'm not even gonna finish this damn letter.
Yeah, he writes, love Chris, piece of shit.
Right? God damn.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she has nothing to do with him now.
She says that, but, like, let's be
she's
honest.
She's also
like,
a piece of shit as well.
Yeah, like Scott Patterson.
Dude. Yeah.
Scott and Lacey Amber Fry. Apparently, after she... Hold on. This was something that surprised me. I forgot about. After Shanann was found missing, or reported missing, Nikki apparently Googled... did people like Amber Fry?
What the So she's like, am I gonna be the next public bitch?
Am I gonna get a book deal?
Right.
Because I had sex with a married man who killed his family.
Right? Something to be proud of for sure is to be a home-running fucking psycho.
Right. So... yeah. I'm gonna encourage you guys to go check everything out. I'm gonna leave a bunch of links to...
What a piece of shit.
I can't believe
you brought this case up. I forgot all about Chris Woods.
See, unfortunately, I have not, which actually, so I was going to tell you guys about, before I forget, I was going to tell y'all about the four types of family annihilators that they've said. There's the self-righteous. He is the killer who seeks to locate blame for his crimes upon the mother who he holds responsible for the breakdown of his family. This may involve...
Sounds familiar.
This may involve the killer following his partner before the murder to explain what he's about to do. For those men, the breadwinner status is central to the idea of their ideal family. Then there's the disappointed. The killer believes his family has let him down or has acted in ways to undermine or destroy his vision of an ideal family. An example may be disappointment that children are not following the traditional religious or cultural customs of the father. The third, the third is the anomic. In these cases, the family has become firmly linked in the mind of the killer to the economy. The father sees family as a result of his economic status, allowing him to display his achievements. However, if the father becomes an economic failure, he sees the family as no longer serving his function. And then there's the paranoid. Yeah. Those who perceive an external threat to the family. This is often social services or the legal system, which the father fears will side against him and take away the children. Here, the murder is motivated by a twisted desire to protect the family. But pretty much in all of these cases, masculinity and perceptions of power sets the background for the crimes. The family role of the father is central to their ideas, and masculinity and the murders represent a last-ditch attempt to perform a masculine role. I don't personally believe that Chris Watts really fell into any of these.
Maybe I don't know, the first one sounded like
the first
like
one, the self-righteous,
of?
Yeah. And also because his, but see, then again, though, he...
But the description of the crime that you described that the use of the word was used for wasn't the same way that it was used.
Right. The reason that interests me about Family Annihilators is that these are men who kill their family in a fit of rage or whatever, but then act like everything is fine afterwards. They often grieve for their family. They pretend like it's like they snap and then forget that it happened, honestly. Like, a lot of Family Annihilators are like that, where they just have this break, they kill their family, and then they just act like nothing happened. They go back to normal. Chris Watts was playing a grieving role. He knew, like, that's
dude,
just so level
yeah, he
fucked
knew
up.
From the fucking get-go. Did they have... Oh, my God, dude. Okay. You have to link the video that they have of him talking to the police. Because that shit...
That's what that I was talking about. Weird. That's what I was talking about. That and the confession where he confessed to his father. I've got a couple of websites that are linked. But they're so easy to find. You can literally just look up Chris Watts' interview and you'll find all of his interviews. But yeah, no. It's so chilling to me that these men can kill their family and then plead for them to come back home, even though they're the ones who killed them. Like, that to me is like
right?
the worst
it's,
thing about a Family Annihilator.
But
right. Yeah. So I have
it's like they didn't get their way that one day, and so their fit just exploded into something way bigger.
Oh, yeah.
And then like they were like, oh well, I'm calm now, so where are the people that I depended on? Or that followed me and gave me everything in life.
Oh, yeah, no, for fucking sure. That's exactly how I feel like he was. But I plan on covering a couple more Family Annihilators because I think they're interesting. Just because they just go back to normal. Like, you know, the people that serial murdered, like, yeah, they pretend that things are normal, but, like, they never, like, really, you don't
they
see
don't
them going
grieve.
Out pleading, huh?
They don't grieve.
Mm-mm. You see these men, that's what's weird
shit.
About them, yeah.
Like, that would be like me being, like, going and, like, killing somebody and then being like, oh, yeah, I killed them, but I miss them so much now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, basically. But it's not, no, that's fucked up. But that is where I end my episode. And I am still a little recovering from listening to that video again. So I'm going to end it on that note. And I encourage you guys all to go look up the stuff that I'm going to post in the description. Check it out for yourself. Let us know what you think about him. Let us know if you can find what y'all guys think a theory is that he did it. Because a lot of people think he just did it because of his mistress. But I don't know if I necessarily see that. Because he could have just killed the wife. Like, why did he kill the children? But I would just love to see what you guys think about that, and stay tuned because we're dropping a double whammy episode tonight. We're going to have two tonight that are released. another one's coming your way. So.
Hell yeah.
You guys have a great night.